Proudly presented by the U.S. Army, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and I'm sure as we get closer to July 4th, you're already making plans for how your family is going to celebrate that special anniversary of our nation's daring Declaration of Independence. Here on Hometown Heroes, our goal is to continually remind you of the men and women who have maintained that independence, the veterans who have risked their own lives enduring situations many of us can only imagine to ensure that our freedoms as Americans are preserved. Our guest today is Frank Ormerod, 93 years old of Auburn, California, originally from Fall River, Massachusetts, and one of two brothers who served our country in World War II. When we left off, he was describing how his destroyer, the USS Ordronox, operating between Maine and Nova Scotia on April 7, 1944, encountered the German submarine U-856.
We located the submarine and we started depth charging it. And it decided to come up, and they didn't want to give up. So the chaplain said to our captain, or all other captains, "I'm going to ram it." And we had a ramming bow on the front of a destroyer. It's like a knife. And the captain hit that. He didn't hit it dead on. He had a glancing blow. And the submarine cut on that destroyer up at the top. It cut it open, and no sea went into it because it was above the water line and above the oil lines and stuff. But just water went into the cruise cutters. But anyways, they didn't bother. You know, it didn't hurt the ship to going to sink. That captain was the only casualty of that operation. He got hit in the back with shrapnel. They called it friendly fire. See, it was a 20-millimeter shell, and the 20-millimeter guns have stops on them. They won't rotate any further. They go one way, stop. One way, stop. But this one was an adjusted right, and the shell ricocheted off of the submarine. Instead of going to the submarine, it went on our ship and ricocheted off of our ship, and the shrapnel went into his back. In the kidneys, I think. They tried to save him. They operated on him. They couldn't save him. They put him in a freezer because we were going to New York, him to his family to bury him. But we couldn't keep him. They said, "We got to get rid of him." So they called us, all our ships, put our dress blues on. We had a funeral for that captain, and we dumped him overseas. But picking this captain up,
you're talking about the German captain now. Yeah. So they initially they weren't going to surrender.
No.
Then you guys rammed them. Well, the chaplain rammed them. Yeah. And then at that point, they decided to surrender?
Well, they were sinking, and it was in the water. And in that water, you only last 15 minutes, and you froze to death. So we picked up the captain, and the executive officer had a 45 pointed at him. Another guy had a submachine gun pointed at him. He gets up on deck. He says, "No need for that today," in good English. So they were interrogating him, and he says, "Where are you taking us?" He says, "Well, we're taking you to Brooklyn Navy Yard, New York City." Oh, he says, "There's no more New York City. Hitler bombed it all out." He said, "Well, we got a surprise for you, but you won't be able to see it because you'll be blindfolded when you leave the ship." So he got off our ship. We don't know where they go, and years later, after the war was over, there was this guy off our ship. I think he was a yeoman, and he was up in B.C., British Columbia, having a vacation there. And he said to the German submarine club was having a reunion there, so he went and asked the German, walking around. He says, "You know anything about the U-856? And the guy says, "No, I don't know nothing about it." He says, "But if you go down this hallway and knock on this door, that man's got a book to tell you everything about it." So he went down, knocked on the door, asked the man, "You know about the U-856? He says, "Yeah, I got a book." He got the book out and looked it up. He says, "Yeah, here it is. Here's the captain's name. Here's his address. So he got his address. He wrote him a letter. His captain invited him over to Germany for a vacation. The captain's name was Fritz. In German, that's Frank. So anyways, they're driving down the Autobahn in a Volkswagen. And he says, hey, Fritz, you know, he said, I lived through World War II. And I lived through other scrapes. I should like to go on living. He says, what do you mean? He says, slow down. 100 miles an hour in a Volkswagen. So anyways, he had his vacation there. He came back to the States, and he gave the executive officer, his name was Owens, Dave Owens. He went over for a week, and then he came back, and he gave the address to another guy, and he went over for a week.
Well, and you're hearing this from your shipmates at these reunions. But did that German captain have anything to say about the time he had spent as a prisoner in the U.S.? Because you guys captured him in April of 44. He was a prisoner here for a while.
Well, yes, we had his address, and our first reunion was in 1991 and 92. I forget which one it was, but it was in Baltimore, Maryland, and we wrote him a letter, asked him to come and be our guest, and he said, oh, I'd love to go. And we never knew anything about what he was and anything, but he says, I want to thank you for pulling me out of that sea, because you only last 15 minutes and that was it. And he says, another thing, I want to thank you for the best 2 years I had of the war. He says, I was a prisoner in Phoenix, Arizona. He was a Lutheran, so they gave him a Lutheran layman to take him around town. And he said, that was the best time I had of the war was in there, and I want to thank you for saving my life.
We don't hear those kind of stories too often.
No, you don't.
And that's one of the people that was on that submarine. You said you pulled in 17?
Yes.
Were there some that you guys were not able to save?
Yes, we had one guy come alongside the ship, port side, and we was in a rough sea. Not real windy, but rough. Then you grabbed a hold of him. The ship rolled. They lost the grip on him. He went down under the ship, and on the other side, we done thing to him. We grabbed a hold of him. The ship rolled, and we lost our grip, and he went down under the ship and out the rear end of the ship, and he's waving for us to go get him, but we would not go devastate our ship for one man because you never know if other submarines are around. Even though we had sound gear, you know, he could come up and shoot and sink us, so we had to watch for our ship and our men.
That must have been hard, though, for a teenager to digest just that reality of that whole situation, the good and the bad.
Well, it was, but I was so glad I was on the other side.
Yeah. So you had that just off the coast of Portland, Maine there, Casco Bay, and then they sent you back to the Mediterranean after that?
Yeah, we went on a couple more duties, envoy duties. I crossed the Atlantic, I think, about 14 times. And had two tours of duty in the Mediterranean. Anyways, when the war was over, we was halfway across the Atlantic, and they put us in the Navy Yard and gave us all kinds of things, work I had done to the ship. And they put us through the Panama Canal, go to the Pacific. We went to San Diego, and San Diego was a little place then. Now it's all grown up. I said to myself, I wouldn't want to go live there. But after I seen it, after I came out to California, it was great. And we went out, went to Pearl Harbor, went swimming in Waikiki. Then we shipped out. We took the battleship Pennsylvania to go to Okinawa.
But before you got to Okinawa, and I'm sorry to interrupt here, but I think people might be interested, this is toward the end of the war, of course, and your ship actually helped recapture one of the first American-held islands to be taken by the Japanese in World War II. We've heard from, on this program, people who were there on Wake Island in December 1941 when the Japanese took them captive. Your ship, the Ordronox, showed up there almost 4 years later in August 1945. And a month later, it was finally back in Allied control. So what do you remember about supporting that recapturing of Wake?
Bombarded the beach, and the battleship, Pennsylvania, set out one of their planes to observe, tell us what we're firing on. So it was coming in for landing. Well, how they bring those planes up on there, they put a sled out, and they let that sled float, and they're pulling it on the back of the ship, and then the plane taxis up on it with its pontoon. They secure it, but this plane came up, and it tipped over. They lost the plane, so they gave us orders to sink it. So we went up and picked up this pilot. He was sitting on the pontoon. We went up and picked him up. Then we fired a 5-inch 38 and sunk the plane because they won't reuse the plane over again, not once it's in the salt water. And then we went out to Okinawa. While we was in the Pacific, we rode two typhoons out. We would go out and patrol near the island where Ernie Pyle was killed. Then this typhoon came up, and all the ships had to get out, get underway. So there was a cruiser. It was towing a metal sub-chaser. Anyways, they had a big rope on that. It stayed there and went with them. But ahead of us, there was an aircraft carrier. It was about 5 miles ahead of us, and we couldn't see it. But anyways, they passed the word out, man overboard. And they're not going to put a boat out to go get my man. But luck was having it. And I believe God was with that man. He came right alongside our ship. We got a boat hook, grabbed the hole with the boat hook, pulled him on board. Great deal. And then we was in another typhoon. We was in Japan. Japan had already surrendered. We was anchored in this river, like, with our bow facing waves and weather. And we had the anchor down, and we was turning over 5 knots just to keep the ship in line, keep it one place, you know. That was another typhoon we went through. So anyways, when after that, we went to Tokyo Bay. And we got in Tokyo Bay on Friday, and Saturday was when they were going to surrender on the Missouri. They said to us, get out and go on patrol. So we had to go out and go on patrol. What for? You know, ships, we had Japanese submarines coming in and that. They didn't want to fight. They were all done. Yep. But we got on the way. Then we came back after that into Tokyo Bay, and it was raining cats and dogs. And I said, only 3 hours. I'm not going to put my blues on and go out there for 3 hours and come back get all wet. So I didn't go. I missed that time. Then after that, we all got ready to go back to Hawaii, and we stayed there. Then they, you know, you're going to the States when they put the commission pendant up, all the flags, get underway. And on the way back, we went to San Diego, and then we got underway, going through the Panama Canal, and we went into the Mexican seas. It was nice and sunny, and there was all big sea turtles floating there. So the captain says, let's put the boat out and go get some turtle. We'll have turtle soup. So they put a boat out and went and got some turtles, and cooks made turtle soup. I tasted it. I said, oh, wow, it tastes like salt water. Forget it. And then we went to the shipyard in South Carolina. We had to do all the work. We had to put it out of commission. And there was guys getting out in the Navy and that. I couldn't get out. My time wasn't up. My enlistment was up, but my time wasn't up. I didn't have enough points. They got by points. If you was married, you had more points. If you had kids, more points. If you're like me, I didn't have no points. So I had to stay. And they put me on another ship, the Arcadia. It was a destroyer ship, take care of destroyers out in the Pacific and places. But anyways, I went home on the train and went up to Boston, got out. I live about 51 miles from Boston. If you want, I'll show you my medals.
I've got a few questions, too, while we're on the topic of getting back home to Boston. Here, your mom had signed for you when you were 17 to go into the Navy. What was it like to come back home after the war's all over and see her again when she knows that you made it through?
Well, she was happy, and she was a great lady. I missed her. I loved her.
You think she did a little praying for you while you were over there?
Yes, she had. So somebody was praying for me, because I had a lot of things happen to me where I almost died. I could have been killed.
Well, it's break time again, but let's make sure to hear about some of those when we come back. Frank Ormerod, 93-year-old Navy veteran of World War II, is our guest today. You will find photos of him then and now at hometownheroesradio.com or on the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. And we're going to hear some more of those close calls from during and even before his Navy days when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Have you ever looked at a box of old videotapes or photos and said, one of these days I'm going to do something with those? I know the feeling. But more importantly, I found the solution at VHSmaster.com. VHS Master will take all your old VHS and 8mm tapes and reels and convert them to DVDs and digital videos, ensuring that your priceless memories will last for years to come. They'll even preserve and restore photos, slides, and audio cassettes. Go to VHSmaster.com. That's VHSmaster.com. And tell them you heard about them on Hometown Heroes.